It's a new year and a good time to be starting again. Starting again. You'd think when you get started, you shouldn't have to start again. But if you've been a Christian any time at all, you know that the Christian life is a process of starting again. And knowing that we have a Savior who forgives us again and again and helps us to start again with the Lord. People have said He's the God of second chances, and it's more than that, because He never runs out of forgiveness and letting us have a do-over. We can always ask for His forgiveness. There is a man in the Bible that we're going to look at today. And although he gave his life to serve Jesus, and he kept trying to serve the Lord, he kept failing, stumbling along. And I think that most of us can relate to that. There are three areas that we're going to look at that we might relate to. And you know, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you this morning, there may be other things in your life that He speaks to you about, but perhaps these three things will juggle your spirit so that you'll want to start again. Number one is the demand that we have for our own way of thinking, to get our own way. And if that's been a problem, we can start again. Number two is the lack of boldness in our Christian witness. We always need a fresh start with that, don't we? A reminder. And then number three, the slowness we have to accept God's will. The man in the Bible that we're going to look at to help us with these new beginnings or starting over is Peter. So we're going to Matthew 4, 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said. "I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. So Peter, like us, has accepted the call of Jesus on his heart, on his life, and he just left everything to go ahead and serve the Lord. And you know, that's what we do when we ask Jesus into our hearts and we're born again. We actually start new. We take the term from the Bible, born again, because Jesus coined the phrase when he talked to Nicodemus. You must be born again. And in that, we start our life over again. And then as we live for him, as Peter found out, there are lots of times we have to start again, a new way of living for him and doing better. And Peter was on fire for the Lord, and Jesus renamed him from Simon to the name of Peter or Petrus, and it meant rock. Jesus really highly honored Peter. I feel like Jesus highly honors my life. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. So he has honored your life, using you in ministry. So you need to be careful that you start over in areas that you need to start over. No other man in the New Testament is named Peter. In the lists of the 12 designated apostles, Peter is always named first. He was a natural spokesman for the 12. He was a great leader for Christians, and yet this man, highly favored and a good Christian leader, wholeheartedly desiring to serve and live for the Lord, had to start over. He had to ask forgiveness again and again as he served the Lord. One time in Jesus' ministry, he asked the disciples who the people thought he was, and then who they thought that he was. And Peter answered for all of them, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus called Peter blessed for saying that and gave him a promise of leadership for the church. And so we're going directly to the encounter, Peter, of demanding his own way of thinking. So keep in mind how he is honored by the Lord. And then we go to Matthew 16, 21 through 23. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Peter could not and would not accept what Jesus said had to take place. We can make all kind of excuses for him, for his reasons for that. But the truth is, Peter had preconceived ideas at how it was supposed to go, how everything was supposed to happen. Folks, if we have preconceived ideas at how God's going to bless our church, how he's going to enlarge it, you might as well get rid of them, because he has a plan. What we need to do is pray for his plan, his way, his will, how God wants to do it. Peter became a tool of Satan, and we become a tool of Satan when we totally refuse to accept what God says. This is the way I want it happen. This is what I want. Instead of being a rock for Christianity, he became a stumbling block to God's will. He needed to start over again in his walk for the Lord, didn't he? Are we demanding our own way of thinking, our own decision on how God can work? Are we like Peter, hindering the work God wants to do because it's not the way that we want it? If the Holy Spirit is convicting you of wanting or demanding your own way with disregard for God's will in a matter, you can repent and make a new beginning in your life for Jesus. And it's important to notice if you need to do that, if there's anything. And so many times in the church world, Christians stumble over this. We want things our way. And lots of times it's little things. Like the Bible says, the little foxes spoil the vine. But we want our own way. Last year, Cheryl made all this decoration. And some of us thought, it's too gaudy and too outlandish. And someone took it upon themselves to take them all down quickly. That's what happens in churches. Because we want it our way. And folks, if you've never seen it, you must be blind, because we've seen it over and over and over. We want our own way. We want things the way we want them. And we hurt people. by demanding our own way. Who knows if it's God's will to have them or not? Does it matter? If one of our Christian brothers or sisters could be hurt by it, we need to accept it and let it be. Amen? Don't demand your own way. Excuse me. Point two, the lack of boldness in our Christian witness. And again, we see Peter commit this sin. Now, this is during the time of Jesus' trial, Matthew 26, 69 through 75. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. He denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath. "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately, the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Here we see Peter refuse to know Jesus, refuse to have had anything to do with him, even to the extreme of swearing he doesn't even know him. And I'm sure you're thinking, well, I would never go to that extreme. Well, what extreme do we go to when it comes to witnessing to others? Peter, the leader of the disciples, has just failed a test of boldness to be a witness for Jesus. He had three chances to stand for Christ, and he failed them all. I'm going to say this, every time that you're in a restaurant having a meal, you have an opportunity to stand for Jesus. You bow your head and you pray over your food. And how many times do you, like Peter, fail to do that? Have you failed to make it known that you're a follower of Christ? Peter had good cause because his life was in danger. I don't think any of us can say, "Oh, I didn't step up for Jesus because I thought they'd kill me." Not yet. Maybe someday. Have you failed to testify, to be a testimony for the Lord? Do you need to weep and repent like he did to have the boldness? We need not to have that lack of boldness. We need to talk to people around us. How about your family? And it's so precious, Charlene, being a witness to our family. Our family knows all the bad about us and sometimes fails to see the good. We need to really live it and proclaim it to them. How about your friends? And there again, quite often, if you are bold for Jesus with your friends and they don't know him, they don't want to be your friend anymore. If that's the case, you need to let that be and just pray. Continue to be the witness, to be bold for the Lord. We're beginning a new year, and this can be a new start for you to be a bold witness for Jesus. Peter went out and he wept bitterly. He made a new start. for the Lord. He started over for the Lord. Again and again. He went on from here to be a leader of the apostles. He continued to make mistakes, but we can be encouraged as we follow his life and his ministry. Each time he failed God, he yielded to the Lord, repented, and went on living for him and ministering. And that's a lesson we learn as we live the Christian life. You stumble. I think it's in Psalms or Proverbs it says, but you will not be cast down. He forgives. He forgives. He forgives. After Jesus was crucified and rose again, Peter took the place of a great Christian leader. He led the believers to appoint a disciple to take the place of Judas. And after the infilling of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, he led the crowd to faith in Jesus, very boldly, being that witness that he had failed to be. And still, there was the threat of death, as he soon found out. This Peter who failed the Lord at his trial now stands and preaches to a multitude, and Scripture tells us about 3,000 people were saved. So as you grab this boldness to be a witness, you just have no idea what God can do in people's lives. He, the rock, the great Christian leader, bold in his preaching now, still human. No matter how far along we go with God, how mightily he anoints and uses us, we're still human. And we need to start over. There's something in our life this morning for each one of us that we can start over and do better for Jesus. Might not be any of these things that I'm covering, but something. We go on now to point three of the message, and it ties in with point one, demanding our own way of thinking, point two, lacking boldness to witness, and point three, slowness to accept God's will. We see Peter, a great man of God, leader of the church, having to wrestle with God's will when it goes against all of his training in life. You know that I minister at the vet's home and at Grandview. And I try to make sure that these people are born again before they die. They're all in these facilities because they're at the last stages of their lives, one way or another. And one of the biggest hindrances many of them have in accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is because they never did it that way. They were never taught that way. They never heard you had to be born again. They might only have heard you had to join the church and you'd be okay. They might have heard you get baptized and then you're fine. You know, they are very hard to win to the Lord because they have preconceived training and ideas at how God's going to move in their life. Peter had this. He was a Jew, trained up in all the Jewish rules, regulations, and traditions. And so, making this step to accept Jesus Christ as Messiah and being born again was a tremendous change in his life. But as he goes on walking with the Lord, God's got to change some other things. And it's not so easy. That's where we're at. Point three, slowness to accept God's will. In these verses, we'll see Peter having to set aside much of his religious training to accept God's will and way. We're going to Acts 10. verses 1 through 8. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He's staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Now God is going to show Peter he has to lay aside some of his religious training that he has lived by all his life. He's God sending messengers from Cornelius to confirm to Peter that the message Peter's getting is true and what God wants. And that's a good thing. You know, you don't always accept what people say that God wants you to do or that's God's will. You need to have a confirmation. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter will be established. And so God's going to speak now to Peter, but he's sending Cornelius' servants, so it'll be a confirmation to Peter. And we go down to verse 9 through 16, Acts 10, 9 through 16. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on a roof to pray. He became hungry and he wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure and unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times. Immediately, the sheet was taken back to heaven. Wow. Peter's been taught all his life not to eat unclean food. God kept the Jews a separated people, did that on purpose because he was going to bring the Messiah through them. But now, times are changing. They had to be a holy people separated to God. And now God is changing the regulations on what to eat, more specifically on how they are to look at others who are not Jews, how they are to look on Gentiles. Up to this chapter, the Jews would not eat with Gentiles or be entertained in their homes in any way. Gentiles were considered unclean. And to have any kind of connection like that was not acceptable for a Jew. How difficult is it for God to change our training from youth up? I grew up in a town that had a lot of Catholic people, and their saying was, "You give us a child until they're 6 years old and we'll have them all their life." Pretty scary how much religion and training can be put into our life and become something that we cling to, the forms of worship and all that goes with it. Of course, Peter did. He was a good Jew. And while he's thinking about this vision, God confirms the vision to Peter. Acts 10, verse 19. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. God's going to do whatever is needed to show you his will, if you are willing for his will. I don't know about you, but there's many times in my life I have to pray, Lord, I'm willing, but I want your will, but help me to be willing for your will. Because I'm knowing in myself, I don't want what I'm feeling God wants. And I've had to pray, God, help me to want what it is that you're wanting and get rid of myself. There's only one time in my life that I knew God spoke clearly to me in an audible voice. And I don't believe that it's going to happen in our lives very often. We have to go by his word, the things we know, and what his Spirit speaks to us in our hearts, in our minds. But this one time he spoke to me with an audible voice. We were stationed in Taiwan, and we were coming home, and we could only bring 200 pounds. If we took more than 200 pounds, we would end up with a bill that we couldn't pay, or we would lose some of our luggage. So it was a desperate situation for us, and we worked and worked at packing suitcases, and I was just so tired, I went and laid on the bed. And as I lay there, God spoke audibly to me, take everything you've got and don't worry about it. Well, he didn't speak to Greg. So I told him, I got up and I said, God said, pack it all, don't worry. He said, well, let's just pack the 200 pounds of what we really, really, really have to have and need. And we'll pack one suitcase with, if we can't take it without paying, we'll just go without. Okay, play it safe. So we got to the terminal at Taipei International Airport. And at that time, Kurt and Dean, our little boys, and the guy, we put the suitcases up on the ramp thing for him. And this little Chinese guy looks at our boys and he says, two boys? You two boys? Yes, two boys. Ding Hao, he says. There we're saying, that's very good. And he just put marks on our luggage and put them through. Ding Hao got Kurt and Dean. So we're going to the airplane. I told Greg, can you praise the Lord now? He says, well, we still have to go through customs. We went through customs. That was not a problem. And we got to San Francisco. At San Francisco, they took all of our luggage off the plane and said to us, the tickets that you got to go to North Dakota are not any good. And so you're going to have to go on another flight. Uh-oh. We've got too much luggage. So we go to the counter for the tickets that we've got to get to North Dakota. And the airline says, well, because this flight to North Dakota, to Minneapolis and then North Dakota, was canceled by the airlines, we're going to put you up in a motel tonight, and we will fly you first class to Minneapolis and North Dakota. No problem. When God says, take it all and go, he means it. And they flew us first class. It's the only time I've ever flown first class. That was really fun. You know what? The enemy doesn't like it when God speaks to us and we obey. When we got off the plane at Grand Forks, North Dakota, it was raining and freezing. Air Force friends of ours picked us up in their car. They had two children, so there was all of us in the car. And we weren't on the road probably 5 minutes, and we went completely around and into the ditch. And not one of us was hurt or had a scratch. But I thought, you know, the enemy sure didn't like that God brought us all this way, like he said to do. But listen to his voice, even if it's not a voice speaking to you clearly, you know, be willing for his will, and he'll bring you through. For Peter to obey God's leading, even though it went against his religious teaching, was a big deal, was huge. He let the Gentiles know it too. Acts 10, 27 through 29. He's there at Cornelius' house, and he's talking with Cornelius. Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" I think it's interesting that we so often have to explain ourselves when God told us to do it. He had to explain himself. He really didn't want God's will. He did not want to go there. But, he says, but God has shown me that you're not impure and I'm to come and preach to you. And Cornelius and his household were saved because he obeyed God's will, even though it went against the grain. It took a drastic vision of God to Peter, the Gentiles coming to get him, for him to set aside his will. He had to make a totally new start, a new beginning in his Christian life. This was going to change the way he lived for Christ. It's interesting, later on, I mean, there's so many times in Peter's life that you see him starting over. Later on, there's a time when he's out ministering and he eats with Gentiles, and then he hears that people are coming down from the church at Jerusalem, and he goes away from the Gentiles and goes to only eat with the Jews, and Paul called him to task about it. No, they're not unclean, they're not impure. So again and again he started over, and that's what this is all about this morning in our lives. As we endeavor to start again in 2017, to live as Jesus would have us to live, hopefully we'll open our hearts and our lives and not repeat the same failures of the past. Number one, may we not demand our own way, whether it's small or whether it's large. Not my way, your way, Lord. May we witness boldly. Make a real stand for Jesus in telling others of his love and his mercy. Number three, may we be quick to obey and accept God's will. Even though perhaps in our life we had different training, different teaching, may we be open to what God says, what he wants. Because Peter accepted and obeyed, you know, these wonderful things happened in his life, and throughout his lifetime of him starting over, God used him, and it was good. So as you make a new beginning, be prepared to see lives touched by your life. I trust God blesses you with this message. And we're going to go from this into the communion service, but I want to explain how we're going to do it so that it will be comfortable for you.